السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة، ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فازره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guide us all to the right path so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, it's how people live is how they will die. How they will die is how they will be raised. Those who live like Muslims, obeying Allah's commandments, following in the Sunnah and teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can hope to live like Muslims and die like Muslims. And those who die like Muslims will be raised like Muslims. Those who don't live like Muslims, when they can do what they want, they have a choice. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah has revealed the truth, and then Allah has given people a choice. Whosoever wants to believe, then let him believe. Whosoever wants to deny, can deny. Allah doesn't impose anything upon anyone. Allah has given people choice. Allah will put people through tests. It's not easy being a Muslim now. It's never been and never will be. If anything, each day and each year which comes is becoming more and more difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يأتي عليكم عام ولا يوم إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. There will not come a day or a year upon you. Each one which comes is will be only more difficult. Things are not getting any easier. Things are getting more and more difficult. Things will get so difficult that there will come a time, الرجل يبيع دينه بأرض من الدنيا. People will sell their iman for a meager, petty worldly gain. So much, يصبح مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا. A man will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening. Muslim in the evening, yumsi'u mu'minan wa yusbihu kafiran. Muslim in the evening, kafir by the morning. There was a time people were flooding into Islam. Yadkhuluna fi deenillahi afwaja. There was a time people were flocking into Islam. There will come a time people will flow out of Islam. There will come a time people will walk by the graveyard, stand upon a grave, and wish instead of the dead person, he was in there. People want to live long. When people fall ill, naturally we feel sorry for them and we pray for their health and long life. We people, if they had their choice, they will never want to die. But there will come a time when people will wish they were dead. It's becoming more and more difficult, but there is no need to despair, no need to lose hope. As they say, when the going gets tough, then the tough get going. Allah is aware how difficult things are becoming, and those who then remain steadfast, hold on to deen. Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasada ummati. those who hold on to my sunnah in the times of fitna and fasad, evil and corruption, falahu ajru shaheed, wa fi riwayatin falahu ajru mi'ata shaheed. They will get the reward of martyrs. One martyr or 100 martyrs, Allah can give. Wallahu yudaifu liman yasha. Allah can increase the reward for whomsoever He wills. But for them, Allah knows how difficult it is. Allah will put every one of us through hardships and tests, so that Allah can distinguish and make it clear. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَنْ يُتْرَكُوا وَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think they can claim to be believers, they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Just as Allah tested the people before us, Allah will definitely test us to see who are sincere, who are truthful, or merely claimants. Some of the things that people will be tested with, what many people feel now, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. The two obvious tests, in your wealth and within yourselves. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth are a test, your children are a test. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You will hear such teasing, taunting, such names, which will hurt through and through, which will hurt people, which will, such insults, such degrading, such humiliation, people causing you names, fundamentalists, extremists, all sorts, backwards, narrow-minded, fundamentalists, whatever, ignorant, backward, all sorts of names. But Allah has already warned us, told us, this is what will happen. Those who give up, those who despair, and they've got no one to blame but themselves. But those who remain steadfast, for them, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. No need to worry, no need to be afraid, have no worries, remain steadfast. What's the matter? It's only a question of what? 40, 50, 60, 70 years. How long has the world been around? Thousands of years. Allah knows how long the very first day of the life hereafter will be, 50,000 years. What we need to pray to Allah, Ya Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the right path. Do you know how many times any Muslim, any given person might make this dua? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The food that we eat, water that we drink, clothes that we wear, houses that we live in, our children, wives, family, friends, relatives, parents, these are all blessings of Allah. Allah gives everything. We should ask Allah for everything. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you ask anything, ask Allah. When you need anything, seek from Allah. Whether you ask Allah to feed you, clothe you, house you, whatever, you might ask, you might not, but you have to ask for hidayah. You know how many times over the period of your life? 32 times a day. 17 rakats are obligatory, 3 rakats are wajib, witr, 12 rakats sunnate muwakkida. 17 and 3 is 20 plus 12 is 32 per day. And that's the minimum. If you pray nawafil, extra on top. Then if you only prayed faraz, wajib, and sunnat muakkida 32 times a day, multiply that by 365, 11,800 in 1 year. In 1 year. Most decent Muslims who had a decent upbringing will start praying at the age of 10. And even if you live till 60, that's 50 years. In 10 years, you would have made 118,000 times this dua. Over a period of 50 years, close to 600,000 times. Just dua to Allah. You think you just ask, Ya Allah, give me, Allah will give? Allah doesn't just give just like that. You can make a dua, Allah will give, but you will have to, with this, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَادِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. You will have to put in some effort. You will have to put in some struggle. And then, Wallahu yahdi man yasha'u ila siratim mustaqim. Ultimately, it's in the hands of Allah. Allah will guide those whom wills. Allah has shown the path of hidayat, the right path, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka la min al mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. But in that dua, you don't just pray for the right guidance, for the hidayat. Ihdina sirat al mustaqim, sirat al ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al maghdubi alayhim wal dallin. There are many times when you are going, you need to know where to go, but you need to be careful not to take a wrong turn. If you take a wrong turn on a highway, it's not just you can stop and just do a U-turn. No, you might end up so far away and many a times not even be able to return to the highway. And Rasulullah said this, demonstrated it practically in front of his companions, how drawing a straight line, saying, "Anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'u." This is my straight path, follow this. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. On the left and the right, he drew many small lines and said, there is a shaitan waiting on each of these turns. You go highway exits, exit 1, 2, 3, 4. There will be 72 exits. On each exit, shaitan saying, come this way. The Prophet said, no, don't follow any of these exits. Just keep going straight, 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 straight. That's your destiny. The path on which was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, followed by his companions and tabi'een, aimma mujtahideen, salaf salihin. They were all on this path, and then eventually Islam has reached us. Many people, they say, we've got to jump to. You say, Imam Abu Hanifa says this, or Hazrat Umar did this. Hazrat Umar, he established 20 rakat tarawih, for example, in the presence of the companions, other companions, sahaba, including Hazrat Aisha. No one objected. No one objected. Hazrat Umar established 20, but many say, well, Rasulullah prayed 8, so soon you can pray 20, but sunnah to pray 8. Who told you it's sunnah? Did you pray with Rasulullah? Who prayed with Rasulullah? Who prayed with Rasulullah? Are you asleep or awake? Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in. Didn't they know what is sunnah? Who told you what is sunnah? Didn't Umar radiallahu anhu know what is sunnah? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has dedicated a chapter in his sahih towards the end of his compilation, Kitabul I'tisami bil Kitab wa Sunnah. And there he says, Naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. People say, we got to do what Rasulullah did. Who is Umar? We don't say, La ilaha illallah, Umar Rasulullah. We say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But did you see Rasulullah? Who saw Rasulullah? Umar radiallahu anhu saw Rasulullah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw Rasulullah. Prayed with Rasulullah. Walked with Rasulullah. Talked with Rasulullah. He walked the walk, he talked the talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not just Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, all the Sahaba. People say, no. We read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have to do what Rasulullah. This is what Umar did. This is what Rasulullah did. All what we say, no, what you might see is wrong. What Umar saw is right. Imam Bukhari didn't pray behind Rasulullah. Yes, Imam Abu Hanifa didn't as well, but neither did Ibn Taymiyyah, nor Albani, nor Bin Baz. Hazrat Umar did. Abdullah bin Masud did. Hazrat Ali did. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left 124,000 or thereabouts Sahaba ridwanullah alaihim ajma'in. And Allah has given a guarantee. Allah says, you want to follow my Nabi? And there is not just one man, not two, not three, not four, whole jamaat. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم. You have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. Follow me. How do you follow Rasulullah? You didn't see Rasulullah. Who told you what Rasulullah did? In every case, when there is a case in a court, you can't just make a claim. You have to prove your worth. Bring witnesses. And then in the court, the witnesses are cross-examined. If the witness is credible, the case is strong. If the witness's credibility is not upheld, then the whole case collapses. The witnesses to the nubuwwat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are his companions. Allah says in the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. This is a claim. What's the proof and evidence, explanation? Ya Allah, we are dumb. We don't know. Ya Allah, explain to us. Muhammadur Rasulullah, walladhina ma'ah. Look at the people around him. Look at what they were. Before Islam, Umar, he couldn't even graze camels. Look what he's become. Farooq. Look at what he's become. If there was to be another prophet after Rasulullah, who would it have been? Albani bin Baz? Ibn Taymiyyah? Who? Umar radiallahu anhu. The prophet said, Walladhi nafsi biyadihi. Umar, I swear by Allah. I swear by him who holds my life in his hands. Ma laqiyaka ash-shaytanu fsalikan fajjan qat illa wasalaka fajjan ghayra fajjik. Umar, may Allah bless you. May Allah elevate your status in Jannah. It's already high. Doesn't need our du'as. Anybody says bidat of Umar, let them say what they want to say. But Umar is already in Jannah with Rasulullah. Where Umar is now, that is what? What is that? Ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah. We don't know where we will end up. May Allah take us all to Jannah. But Umar is already in Jannah for 1400 years. And will remain till the day of Qiyamah. And shall rise on the day of Jannah. On the day of Qiyamah, will be with Rasulullah. The Prophet was once going. Hazrat Abu Bakr on his right, Umar on his left. Put his hands on both. He said, Hakadha nubathu yawm al-qiyamah. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah. People say, bidat of Umar. Umar said 3 is 3. Only Umar didn't say 3 is 3. If the world says 3 is 3. In South Africa, if you go to a shop and you want 3 kilograms of potatoes, can I have 3 kilograms of potatoes? How many does he give you? 1 kilogram or 3 kilograms? If you book 3 tickets to go anywhere, how many tickets do you get? 1 or 3? You said in one sentence. Samajh aa rahi hai nahi aa rahi? Do you understand or not? How many people, they say, no, 3 talaqs in one sitting is 1. There's only 1 religion, 1 community in which 3 is 1. And you are lucky because Ahmadidat explained enough. In which community 3 is 1? Trinity. God is Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit is 1. 1 is 3. Wallahu alam. In every other language of the world, whether you live in Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, Surat, Bruges, Islamabad, Karachi, Jeddah, New York, Paris, Australia, New Zealand, wherever you go, 3 is 3. And people say, no, Umar made 3 as 3, otherwise it was 1. The world knows 3 is 3. So when Umar established radiyallahu anhu 20 rakat tarawih, he had prayed with Rasulullah. He had prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That night when Rasulullah prayed, Hazrat Aisha was probably sleeping at home. What namaz did Rasulullah used to pray with Hazrat Aisha? Tahajjud. He prayed masjid. There are 2 fundamental differences between Taraweeh and Tahajjud. Taraweeh, Tahajjud was ordained first year of Islam. Taraweeh only Rasulullah prayed last year of his life. Tahajjud is prayed later part of the night. Taraweeh was prayed beginning of the night. Tahajjud Rasulullah always prayed individually. Taraweeh he prayed collectively. Tahajjud he would pray at home. Taraweeh he prayed
In masjid. So when Aisha radiallahu anha reports a prayer, it's obvious she's reporting a prayer. Rasulullah would pray in front of her. If you want to ask how many Rasulullah prayed in masjid, ask those who prayed with Rasulullah. They were Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Umar, Usman, Ali radiallahu anhum. And they all used to pray 20. So how can it be sunnah to pray 8 when all the people who prayed with Rasulullah used to pray 20? So Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. You want any issue? You got problems with anything? Controversial issues? People many, man, don't talk about controversial issues. We are a very peaceful community. You might brush it under the carpet, but other people don't. This is what Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim only. The Surah Fatiha end there. The Surah Fatiha, and you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, Allahu Akbar. No, then you say, Siratul Ladina Namta Alayhim. You end there, Allahu Akbar. There is also, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdaleen. When you go to a doctor complaining, Doctor Sabah, I've got my head is spinning. Checks your blood pressure. Oh, blood pressure is high. I have this medicine. Stop this cholesterol pakode, samosa, biryani, hot spices. That's enough. You've had enough now. You got sugar. Oh, sugar has to stop. Dr. Patel, in here, mashallah, many Patels are Muslim, but in other parts of the world, they are not Muslim. There are many Patels. In the UK, most Patels are not Muslim. Dr. Patel, Dr. Jones, Dr. Smith, who the hell are you? Allah has made red meat halal. Why are you telling me I can't eat? Allah says it's halal. Dalil in the Quran. So are you going to say that to the doctor? No. Yes, he knows what he's talking about. Similarly, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah knows what he's talking about. Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Yemen. Oh Muaz, when people bring to you problems, how will you judge? Ya Rasulullah will judge. Ajtahidu fi bi kitabillah. Aqdi bi kitabillah. I will look into Quran. Fa in lam tajid fi kitabillah. If you don't find it in the book of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, how can you say it if you don't find it in the Quran? When Allah says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, I've revealed a book, it talks about everything. There are many people that say, Quran is everything, you don't need hadith, you don't need sunnah, Quran is enough. Have you heard of such people? There are people who say that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, if you don't find it in the book of Allah, he said, أَقْدِ بِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ, I will judge by his sunnat, sunnat of his beloved prophet. The ulama will tell you the word used is sunnat. He didn't say hadith of Rasulullah. There's a difference. Didn't, no, but hadith and sunnat is the same. Well, Rasulullah didn't say that. Where's your dalil? People say, where's the dalil? Well, where is the dalil? Hadith is the same as sunnat. Rasulullah said sunnat, not hadith. My teacher, Allama Sahab, Allama Khalid Mamusa, may Allah bless him, Hazrat was saying about him. Hazrat says, once he was invited to a jalsa, Khatm-e-Bukhari. He was coming from a long way, got delayed. He was due to give the final bayan and make dua. He got there very late when the time was almost up. So the Mutamim Sahab said, Hazrat, 5 minutes for barakat, please, and then make dua. Hazrat sat down on the minbar, said, all right, whatever you say, it's your show. He said, Alhamdulillah, ulama have studied hadith. Hadith is a matter for learning, teaching, respect, but not amal. Can you say that? Ulama sahab can. Hadith is for learning, teaching, respect, but not for amal. You understand? Let's make dua. Hazrat sahab, when ulama sahab said this, obviously, everybody looking at him, what's he talking about? The Mutamim Sahib said, Hazrat, you can't stop there. Please do explain. Explain what you mean, please. Hazrat said, hadith is for teaching, for learning, for respect, not for amal. For amal, it is sunnah. Hadith can be sahih, daif, fabricated, maudu, mutwatir, mashhur, munkar, whatever. There are many hadiths which are like that, different classification. Hadith sahih, daif, munkir, mashur, mutwatir, waghara, waghara. But have you ever heard say, this is sahih sunnat? This is daif sunnat. Miswak is sahih sunnat. I know sunnat means sunnat. Hadith means, hadith is just a general statement. Hadith is anybody, he's sitting there. By literal meaning, that's also hadith. Because in Arabic, hadith means a statement. So how can you just follow any statement? In deen, hadith has a religious significance, something related or to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the Quran, Allah says, halataka hadith o Musa. Whatever Musa alayhi salam did and said, that's also hadith. But you might say he's a Nabi as well. Allah says, halataka hadith daif Ibrahim. Ibrahim's guests, they want Nabis. But Allah is saying, shall I tell you their hadith? So hadith is just a statement. What you follow is sunnat. Who will tell you sunnat? Mujtahid will tell you sunnat. Mujtahid will tell you sunnat. So Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, he said, if you don't find anything in sunnat, the Prophet, فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدْ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. How can we think there is nothing in sunnat? Something not in sunnat. Rasulullah himself said, if you don't find it in sunnat, then Muaz ibn Jabal said, أَجْتَهِدُ بِرَائِي وَلَا آلُوا. I will make ijtihad and I will leave no stone unturned. I will try my best. This is the ijtihad or qiyas of a mujtahid. We are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We look at Quran, we look at sunnat of Rasulullah, we follow ijma' and we follow qiyas of a mujtahid as well. This is all from Quran and sunnah. No, you gotta follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah doesn't say that. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Those who are with him, look at them, look at what they were. Whatever they do, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ. Follow them. Ya Allah, what if we follow them, what will happen? Allah says, I am already happy with them. They are happy with me. Anyone who follows them, I will radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah will be happy with them, and Allah, just as Allah was happy with them, Allah will be happy with you as well. And this is open till the day of Qiyamah. Imam Bukhari rahmahullah, he says, نقتدي بمن قبلنا ويقتدي بنا من بعدنا. This is Imam Bukhari's verdict. Imam Bukhari is of the opinion, you follow what the people before you have been doing. It's a line. You're coming down the line. In India, Pakistan, when you go, there's no queue. But when you come here, you go to the bank. Yesterday we were coming, one brother wanted to go to the bank. There was a long queue. He decided to get in the queue, but took so long, he came out. Here you line up. You go to the bank, you go to the supermarket, you go to the petrol pump. What do you do? Somebody tries to jump to the front, what will he say? Get back. When you get to India, Pakistan, you jump to the front, it's another thing. But everywhere, in most parts of the world, you just follow the queue. Imam Bukhari, rahmahullah, he says, get in the queue. Get in the queue. نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا. We will follow what the people before us were doing, what your imams were doing. They've learned from their teachers. It goes through Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a fashion now. Dr. Zakir Naik Saab, he used to talk about Christianity, he was everybody's hero, but now he thinks, yeah, sunnat is 8. You can pray 20, but sunnat is 8. Everybody, oh, Dr. Zakir Naik, yes, he's a scholar. He's a scholar in whatever form. May Allah bless him for the good work he's doing. But the people who've been teaching you here, they are not jahils either. Imam Bukhari says, follow those before you. Get in the queue. If you get to the front in a petrol pump, in the bank, in the supermarket, they tell you get to the back. You want to jump in front of Hazrat Umar, you think Allah will allow you? Brother, Hazrat Umar did this, Rasulullah did this, so we got to get behind Rasulullah, not behind Umar. You think Rasulullah wasn't behind Umar? He had a separate queue? No, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was directly behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just as you want to jump in front of the queue, and even your brother or your cousin, your friend will say, can you please get to the back? I've been here for 2 hours. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is already in the queue 1400 years. He's been there behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will not allow anybody to jump in front of Hazrat Umar. Get back in the queue 1400 years down the line. Imam Bukhari says, نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا. If you get in the queue, you are order in order, following the people in front, then the ones behind you will line up as well. You want to jump, the next man is going to jump in front of you. There will be total chaos. To avoid the chaos, organized. Alhamdulillah, do you think you are proper Muslim or you are not Muslims? Why are you all Muslims and sitting here and not in a church or in the jungle? Why? Because Muslims. Why were your parents Muslims? Because their parents were Muslims. Why were they Muslims? Because their parents were Muslims. Why are your children Muslim? Because you are Muslim. So Imam Bukhari says, نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا. We have inherited Islam for our elders, and we have passed it on to the people. Similarly, if you are Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, you've inherited from your elders, you pass it on to your children. No harm. No harm. People say, well, was Sahaba Salafi? Was Sahaba Hanafi? Was Sahaba Maliki, Shafi? Well, what any Sahaba Salafi? They want Salafi either. Well, rather, anybody, nobody can be Salafi now because you're all Khalafis. Salafi means ancestors who passed away. You haven't passed away yet, so you can't be a Salafi. You have to be a Khalafi, the one who come to the back. Allahu Akbar. So Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with him, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّانْ سُجَّدًا. They are very, very merciful amongst themselves. Very firm on the kafir. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّانْ سُجَّدًا. You see them, mashallah, they spend their time in ruku, in sujood. Why? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They are seeking the fazl of Allah and His pleasure. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah loves them so much. Students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people say, I've studied under so and so. Many say, I've studied in so and so. In Zakaria, in Anadwil, Deoband, Saharanpur, Medina University, other places, so on. Well, mashallah, good for you. Many mubaraks to you. But I am sorry, but Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Hazrat Aisha studied in the madrasa of Rasulullah. Many of your teachers, mashallah, when you study end of the year, they want an exam. Do you have exam in your madrasas here, maktab? Many places they call it external examiner. Mashallah, Maulana sahab, please come. We, mashallah, we've got an exam. Just listen to the Quran and see what you feel. When teachers, mashallah, you've taught, Qari sahab has taught, some other Qari comes and takes the exam. Teaches students taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, they need to give an exam as well. So who's going to take their exam? Allah says, don't worry, my beloved Prophet. Allah will take their exam. This isn't a weak hadith from Fazal-e Amal. Many people are allergic to all sorts. Allergic to Fazal-e Amal. So some people have nut allergies. Some have Fazal-e Amal allergies. They think it's fabricated stories full of... No, Fazal-e Amal is not fabricated stories full of fabric. Hundreds of verses of Quran written by probably the greatest muhaddis of recent times. A man who produced hundreds of muhaddis. Hundreds of muhaddisun. Taught Bukhari 1500 years. Brother Isan Bukhari. Isan Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. This sign of qubuliyat, of the tribute to the Shaykh, sincerity and goodness. After the Quran, probably the most read book in the world, Fazal-e Amal. Almost every masjid, millions of houses worldwide, millions of people, Allah has benefited, they come to the right path. Men, women, children, endless number of people. Allahu Akbar. Allah has blessed them through the... Allah blesses, but Allah makes means. Allah has made fazale amal, the means of hidayat, endless number of people. Fiji Island, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan. MashaAllah. Thailand, and MashaAllah. And China, Russia, all of Asia, Africa. You're sitting in the southernmost tip of Africa and hundreds of masjid, rather thousands. Fazale amal is read every day. And America, south, north, everywhere. MashaAllah. This is the noor. A noor. MashaAllah, that Allah has enlightened many houses and masajid, tribute to the sincerity and goodness of the Shaykh. But anyway, this isn't from just from Fazal-e Amal. Allahu Akbar. Allah says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ مَثَلٌ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah talks about the companions of Rasulullah, not only in the Quran. Allah mentioned them in Torah and Injil. Just as the people of the book, Jewish Christian scholars, used to recognize Rasulullah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They would recognize Rasulullah like they recognize their own children. So they would recognize Abu Bakr. They would recognize Umar. This is Umar. Allahu Akbar. And the Jews, they said, if you call Umar, we don't want to fight. We'll just hand him the keys. Hazrat Umar radiallahu came all the way from Medina Munawwara to Jerusalem. They said, no problem, we don't want to fight. Here, take these keys. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he traveled to Yemen, he met a monk. And the monk saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, stared at him. He said, if I'm not mistaken, you are from Makkah. He said, yes. If I'm not mistaken, you must be from Quraysh. He said, yes. And if I'm not mistaken, you must be from Banu Taim. Yes. And if you don't mind, I know you've got a mark on your stomach. I want to have a look. Well, what's it got to do with you? He goes, there's a mark on your stomach. Our books, they tell us there's going to be a prophet, and I can see you will be the first man to believe in him. First man to be, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lifted his shirt and showed him. He said, I knew, when at the moment I saw you, I knew you are the man who will be number one. I knew you will be the man. Even the Christian monks knew who's number one. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Any Pakistani sitting here? Pakistani, the Mast Kalandar Ali, the Pella number. There was a woman, her name was Noor Jahan. They used to call her Mamalka Tarannum, a queen of songs. We call her Malka Jahannam. Tama the Mast Kalandar Ali da Pella number. No, Tama the Mast. Now, Abu Bakr's number one. Abu Bakr was always number one. Hazrat Umar tried all his life, eventually gave up. No, even I can't overtake Abu Bakr. Allahu Akbar. He tried, he realized he will never be able to overtake Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even the Christians and the Jews knew Abu Bakr is number one. But the Shias, they say, no, Ali was number one. Ali was never number one. He was always number... He was always number four. No harm, such an exclusive list. If you're number four and you fail your exam in the bottom, that's... cause for insult, but that is such an exclusive list, exclusive order. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum, ajma'een. No shame being number four or number five or number ten. That was an exclusive list of very exclusive ten people. وَلَّذَٰلِكَ مَثَلٌ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ. And like it all started so delicately when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came down from Hira. Khadija رضي الله عنها, she was the first outright person to, because she had Rasulullah met her first. He came home. Khadija رضي الله عنها was similarly waiting many, many years for Rasulullah to come home one day and say, Allah has blessed me with nubuwwat. even before she married. 15 years earlier, Khadija radiallahu anha was amongst her friends. And she was amongst her friends and they were having a party, get together, dinner. There was a voice. Oh, you women of Makkah, there's going to be a Nabi appearing here. If any one of you can try and be his wives, then do so. All the other women laughed, but not Khadija radiallahu anha. She was so impressed. She was so taken back, so touched. She just longed for the day when she can be the wife. She just wanted to be the wife of this blessed man who will be that Nabi. And when Allah put her in touch with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she asked the beloved Prophet of Allah to look after her business interests, and we've all heard the story how Rasulullah went to Sham, and when Rasulullah was returning, Hazrat Khadija was waiting. And she saw as the Prophet was approaching, clouds were giving cover to Rasulullah. She just couldn't hold it back anymore. She'd seen many things before as well, but that was like the icing on the cake. And she couldn't hold herself back anymore. She proposed to the Prophet herself, would you like to marry me? Rasulullah said, let me make mashura with my uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib said, no harm, no problem. Abu Talib, then he performed Rasulullah's nikah with Hazrat Khadija. And Allahu Akbar, they started living together. Once Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, if Allah makes you the Nabi that I think you will be, then please don't forget me. Don't overlook me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Khadija, if you are doing what you are doing because you're doing it for Allah, Allah won't betray, Allah won't let you down. And if I do become that man that you think I will be, then I will never forget you. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down from Hira, and Rasulullah said, Zammiluni, Dassiruni, Hazrat Khadija said, what's happened? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated everything. Hazrat Khadija said, well, this is the day I was waiting for. And she embraced Islam. And then she was already waiting. She was the first person Rasulullah met. So she was obviously going to be the first. And then, but she was the Prophet's wife. Wife is expected to oblige and do and respond to the husband. And but from independent people, people who didn't owe Rasulullah anything, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first and the only man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he said, anyone I presented Islam to, they all hesitated, thought about. When you want to buy a small car, 10,000 rand, 20, 30,000 rand, you open the bonnet, get down, check the tires, exhaust, whatever. 10 times you go around, make the tawaf. And before parting with that, any deal you want to make, you think 10 times over, but not Abu Bakr. Every other deal he might have thought about it, but the moment Rasulullah said, Abu Bakr, I am Rasulullah, Abu Bakr said, I believe you are Rasulullah. Not a moment's delay, not a second thought, not a moment's hesitation, immediate response. Guaranteed, assured by, confirmed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the next day Jibreel came down, taught how to, he prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Ali saw Rasulullah praying, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, what?" He said, "What were you doing?" The Prophet said, "Allah has blessed me with nubuwwat. I was praying to Allah. Only Allah deserves to be prayed. No one else." Ali, I am Rasulullah. You should believe. Hazrat Ali said, I want to consult my father Abu Talib. Hazrat Ali, he was a child, but still he wanted to consult his father. Abu Bakr was independent, didn't hesitate for a moment. Then the next day Allah opened Hazrat Ali's heart as well. And he came in, first child. But he was a child. What can a child do? At the time he was only 10 years old. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was already an established businessman, independent, standing on his own feet, wealthy man. He went the first day. First days gushed. Hazrat Usman, Jabir radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the likes of such people, Ya Rasulullah, they also want to join you. Hazrat Abu Bakr, first Muslim, first person to do gasht in the Ummah, first person to make tashkil in the Ummah, first person to bring people into Islam from the Ummah. Abu Bakr was always number one. And when Rasulullah left this world, number one to join him as well. And number one here, number one all the way to Jannah. Anybody wants to burn can burn all the way to hell. And people do burn with the name of Abu Bakr. But even Hazrat Ali knew Abu Bakr is a wonderful name. This is why he named his children Abu Bakr. Name one of his sons. Allah blessed him with sons. 14 sons. Many people, one boy, one girl, stop. Full stop. MashaAllah. In the UK, mashallah, we have social security and there's child benefit, other benefits, mashallah. But in Medina, before, afterward, Hazrat Umar established child benefit, social security. But at the time, Hazrat Ali didn't care, mashallah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ 14 sons, many daughters. No breaks. MashaAllah. Allah blessed him with sons, was Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. The two eldest sons. Then after the Fatima passed away, Hazrat Ali married other women. Allah blessed him with more children. He named three Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. The big Muhammad, middle Muhammad, small Muhammad. MashaAllah. One Abdullah, Ubaidullah. Many people want fancy names. Mawlana, something exclusive. MashaAllah. Something exclusive. Nobody else has. Names of actors and dancers. Allahu Akbar. Then they wonder why they come home dancing, rocking and rolling. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Even Ali radiallahu anhu knew one of the best names. Hassan and Hussein, Rasulullah named, Hazrat Ali named. He loved his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu would make qurbani every year for himself. He would always make sure he did one for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three he named Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Awsat, Asghar. One Abdullah, one Ubaidullah. How many is that? Three and two and two and five plus two? Four he named after his family members. Jafar, Yahya, Aun and Abbas. How many is that? Seven and four is? 14 minus 11 leaves. One he named Abu Bakr. One he named Umar. One he named Usman. When later on many years passed by, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu found himself in Karbala, surrounded by Ubaidullah bin Ziyad's army. His uncle, Hazrat Hussein's uncle, Shia's Baq, that Sunnis killed Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. No! In any murder, in any investigation, they take into account circumstantial evidence. What's the crime scene? Where is the crime scene? Was Hazrat Hussein martyred in Medina? Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu died on the 22nd Rajab. News reached Medina 27th Rajab. In the evening, Walid, who was the governor of Medina, on behalf of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he requested Hazrat Hussein to come to his house and asked him, "I have been required, asked to take allegiance from you on behalf of Yazid." Any Mufti sahabs here? Ask any Mufti Maulana, if anybody says, tomorrow or in 6 months I will become a Christian, or a Qadiani, or whatever, let alone 6 months, you immediately become a Murtad. If you are married, your nikah will break, because you doubting your own iman, you not happy with it, you want to become a kafir, and let alone 6 months, you will immediately become a kafir. Any Mufti Samadhan sahab, is that right or correct, or is there any doubt in what I've said? Ask any Mufti sahab. Anybody says 3 months time, 6 months time, I will become whatever, Christian, Qadiani, Shia, he will immediately become a Murtad. If giving allegiance by Hazrat Hussein to Yazid was kufr, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu gave an answer to Walid. Do you want me to give you allegiance in this room in secrecy, or would you rather I give allegiance in public? Hazrat Hussain, this is in Shia books, Jilaul Uyun, written by Mullah Baqir Majlisi, rather Majusi. If you, everybody's got smartphones these days. In England, oh, mashallah, he's got a Samsung. Most people here got Blackberries. But in these smartphones, type in Ask Sheikh Google. Ask Sheikh Google, Mullah, who's Mullah Baqir Majlisi? Sheikh Google will give fatwa. Mullah Baqir Majlisi was the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. Mullah Baqir Majlisi, rather Majusi, his written Jilaul Uyun, in Jilaul Uyun volume 2. I often bring the books with me, but today we've been out all day and early in the morning we left the books. Otherwise I carry them with me, I showed it to some brothers. If anybody wants to see, I have it with me. Where we are staying, you can come with me and I'll show you the references. Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, Hazrat Hussain said, would you rather I give you allegiance here in secrecy or tomorrow in public? So if giving bayat to Yazid was kufr, why did Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu want to think about giving him allegiance? Do you understand or not? And in any case, many years earlier, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied. This is a hadith from Bukhari. Brothers, sahih hadith, please. This is a sahih hadith from Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, the first group of my ummah to make naval jihad, Ghazwat al-Bahri, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are all guaranteed Jannat. And this happened in the time of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Why? He's Sahabi of Rasulullah. He is your uncle. Who is he? No. Who is he to you? Your uncle. Why? He's your mama. And in Gujarati, Urdu is mama. Is it an honorable relationship or a disgraceful relationship? If somebody is your mama, do you give him respect or you humiliate him? Somebody, your mother's brother, if you see him on the street, will you curse him or will you give him respect? Are you asleep or are you awake? If you see your mama on the street, somebody says your mama is coming, will you be happy? I don't know about you here now. But when people had decency, respect, then they respected their mamas or they insulted them. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is your mama. You want Dalil? Dalil is in the Quran. Not even his Zaif hadith again. In the Quran. But many people don't read Quran. They only carry Bukhari. In the Quran, Allah says, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." Nabi is the dearest to all believers, and his wives are their mothers. Anybody's got a mother at home, thank Allah. In Urdu, they say, or rather Punjabi, I don't know if any Punjabi is here. They say, "Maawa thandiyan chaawa." You know what that means? Our mothers are a very cool shade. MashaAllah, the comfort of the just your mother to be in your house, such a blessing of Allah. Many young people nowadays, everything they advertise, promote through women. Phone, car, cooker, fridge, washing machine, whatever. A semi-naked woman standing by the side. Yep, this is a nice deal. Astaghfirullah. People get attracted. Somebody glamorous posing on this big billboards. Anybody going anywhere see such fancy billboards and you stare. On the day of Qiyamah, hot rods will be placed into your eyes. To look down, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Look down when you see anything indecent. She might be Miss World attracting your attention. They might not be another such a beautiful woman in the world. But don't look at her. Haram. You go home. Your mother, an old woman, her face wrinkled. She can't see. She might have double-sized contact lenses or glasses. And teeth fallen out. Even the dentures don't stay in place. Arched back. And she comes. Son, are you home? Many people, they say, my old woman's my case 24/7, man. Don't you dare call your mother a dresser like that. This is shameful for any Muslim man to call his mother an old woman. And even worse, to call the father. My old man is seriously on my case. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ prophesied coming of such times. Ata ar-rajulu imratahu aqqa ummahu adna sadiqahu aqsa abah. Obedient to the wife. I'm not saying don't take care of your wives. Take care of your wives. Give them all the love you can give. Give them all the titles you can give. Darling, sweetheart, whatever. But give your mother the respect she deserves. And giving your wife love, you know, famous hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, you can lie on three occasions. La yahillu al-kadhibu illa fi thalath. Three occasions you can lie. You can't lie on any other occasion except three. Al-kidhbu fil harb. In times of war, to deceive the enemy. You can lie to deceive the enemy, wrong foot him. Kidhba ar-rajul imra'atahu liyurdiha. You can lie to your wife just to keep her happy. Darling, I think about you all the time. No harm done. Allahu Akbar. You can say what you like to, mashallah, within limits, mashallah. But when you go home, give your mother the respect she deserves as well. But may Allah never ever bring such a day when any man, Muslim man, goes home and says to his mother, you woman, I don't care, you are not my mother anymore. May Allah never ever bring such a day in anybody's life, let alone a Muslim. You look at that old woman and you go home, mama, amma, whatever you call her here, what do you call her here? Ma, amma, mama, whatever. Ma, I'm home, ma. You smile at her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will give you the reward of one hajj. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, what if somebody looks at her 100 times a day? Allah will give you the reward of 100 hajj a day. Why? There's no shortage where that's coming from. There's plenty, 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 the whole world. You know how many presently there are humans there are in the world? 7 billion, approximately. 7 billion humans presently. 60 million were murdered in World War II. How many? 9/11? Only, I'm not justifying 9/11 for one moment. But they say 9/11 changed the world. Well, World War II didn't change the world. 60 million got murdered and people are back to friends. 500,000 just through two bombs. Nagasaki, Hiroshima. But mashallah, America, Japan, the biggest trade partners. But 9/11 changed the world because 3,000 died. How many died Tutsi Rwanda? Down in your neighborhood, how many? Almost 1 million died. Many of you young ones might not know, but there were two Palestinian refugee camps. Shatila and Sabra. How many have heard? Put your hands up if you know about Shatila and Sabra. 20,000 Palestinians were massacred in one night by Christian militia under the supervision of the Jewish army. One night. Ask Sheikh, Google will tell you. It's all there in the early 1980s. Did that change the world? It didn't change the world, but that's not my topic anyway. When you go home, may Allah never bring such a day, where you think, you say, become disrespectful to your mother. But if you say, old woman, you are not my mother, I don't care. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. Many cases, a man gets married, Allah blesses the children, something happens, the woman dies, leaving behind 2-3 children. The man brings another wife. Reasonable, unreasonable? And so now he brings another wife. So these children are still young. What do they call this mother, this woman? They call her mother. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. So you go home and you say, even though she might not be your mother, she treats you like a son, she's your father's wife, so give her the respect that she deserves. If anybody goes home and says, you are not my mother, very bad, very sinful, even cursed, but you won't become a kafir. But if anybody has the audacity and says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Zainab bint Jahsh is not my mother, Umme Salma, Maimuna, Safiya, Jawariya are not my mothers, Wallahi Lazim, that person immediately becomes a kafir, because Allah is saying she's your mother. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The wives of the Prophet are like your mothers. Give them the respect that they deserve. أم حبيبة. She might have been that she was the daughter of Abu Sufyan, but she was the wife of Rasulullah. Many people have children. Their sons grow up. They have daughters. Their daughters grow up. People want Maulana Sahib, if you know, a decent boy. Many people say, Maulana, if you know a decent professional. I say, you're asking the wrong guy. If you want somebody, mashallah, goes in tabligh, jamaat, prays, dadi, mashallah, whatever. Brothers, raise your hands, please. Both hands. Go on. Raise. I'm not going to ask you for your bank accounts and checkbooks. I don't want a single penny from you. Raise your hands, mashallah. Roll them down. Your face. If you can grab something, grab, say Alhamdulillah. If not, say Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And this is sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many, why? And every day in the morning, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Why? Wanna look smart, man? Come on. You wanna look smart? Rasulullah was the smartest man ever. One sahabi sitting, mashallah, Ya Rasulullah, Ahsanu minka lam tara qattu aynan. No eye has ever seen anyone more handsome than you. And how could they? Ajmalu minka lam talidin nisa'u. Anyone better than you? No woman has ever given birth. There hasn't been a woman born who can give anybody birth better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you want to look smart? Look like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. This will make you smart. Allahu Akbar. So your wives, when your son grows up, you want someone nice for you, for your son, good bride. You want to bring the best bride that you can within your capacity, mashallah, for your wife, for your son to be his wife. When your daughter grows up, you want the best son-in-law for your daughter. When Rasulullah needed a wife, do you think Allah didn't want the best bride for his Rasul? You think Allah didn't want the best bride for his Rasul? What do you think? Allah says in the Quran, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Good women for good men, good men for good women. Anyone better than Rasulullah ever to walk on this earth? So you think Allah was going to give any woman for Rasulullah? Just walking by, just pick her up and give her to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel would bring a scarf to Rasulullah and say, Ya Rasulullah, Allah says, this is going to be your wife. Rasulullah would look, that's Abu Bakr's daughter Aisha. And Rasulullah would keep the matter in his heart. If Allah wills, Allah will make her my wife. Rasulullah says, I did not marry any woman myself, nor did I marry any one of my daughters to any man, except with wahi from Allah. One of the wives of Rasulullah, Allah says, Zawajnakaha. Ya Rasul, my beloved Prophet, don't worry. I have done your nikah with her in Jannat. Already in the heavens, Allah performed her nikah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want a good bride for your son. Allah wanted the best for his beloved Prophet. Dalil in the Quran. Ya Nisa al-Nabiyye, lastunnaka ahadim minan nisa. O you wives of my Prophet, there is no other woman like you in the whole world. Allah chose the best for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just as Allah chose the best for his beloved Prophet when his daughters reached the age, just as you want a best man for your daughters, when Rasulullah's daughters reach the age to be married, in the beginning, the Prophet's daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, she was the eldest. Hazrat Khadija had a wish that Zainab be married to one of her nephews. Rasulullah didn't object, no problem. She was married to Abu al-As bin Rabi. And they left Ruqayya, Umme Kulthum, Fatima, three other daughters. And the many modern Shias, they say, Rasulullah had only one daughter because she was the wife of Hazrat Ali, the mother of Hassan and Hussein. So they only say, if only Fatima was the daughter. But the Quran says, Rasulullah had at least three daughters. This is should be part of your Iman, your Aqidah. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, kull azwajika wa banatika. In Arabic, Arabic is a very special language, very precise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, loved the Arabs for three reasons. I am Arab, the Quran is in Arabic, and the language of Jannat is Arabic. Don't ask me the language of Jahannam. Because Allah says, I'll give you dalil as well. A lot of people ask me for dalil, so I've got used to giving dalils. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. And most of the people are going to end up in Jahannam. So whatever language most people speak, that's probably... Allahu Akbar. Arabic is a very precise language. Allah, if the Prophet would have had only one daughter, you think Allah would know or Allah wouldn't know? Allah would know or Allah wouldn't know? Allah would know. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, kulli azwajika, tell your wives, if Rasulullah would have had only one daughter, you think Allah can speak Arabic as well? Allah knows Arabic. Kulli azwajika wa bintika, tell your daughter. If Rasulullah would have had two daughters, Allah would have said, kulli azwajika wa bintika, tell your two daughters. But Allah knows reality. Allah can speak. Allah knows Arabic better than any one of us sitting here. So Allah says, "Kulli azwajika wa banatika." Arabic is a very special language. In every other language, most languages, single, plural. One house, two houses. One girl, two, three, four girls. One daughter, two, three, four daughters. But in Arabic, singular, dual, plural implies on at least three or more. The Quran says, "Kulli azwajika wa banatika." Banat means at least three. But the Shias don't want to know three because they only want to know one, because the other two were married to Usman radiallahu anhu. Initially, Rasulullah gave Ruqayya to Hazrat Usman. When she passed away, Rasulullah gave Umm Kulthum. When Umm Kulthum passed away as well, in the meantime, Hazrat Fatima was married to Hazrat Ali. MashaAllah. And when Hazrat Umm Kulthum passed away as well, Rasulullah said to Ali, "Oh Ali! Usman, I don't have any more daughters. If I had 40, I would have given them all to you." Hazrat Ali is special. He got a daughter from Rasulullah. But Usman, Allah, may Allah bless you, Usman. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on one occasion, "Ma darra Usman ma amila ba'da al-yawm." After today, doesn't matter what Usman does, Jannat is guaranteed for him. Many, many times Rasulullah said, whosoever does this, Jannat is guaranteed. Hazrat Usman said, I will do this. Many, many times Usman radiallahu anhu, many, many times Rasulullah gave him assurance, guarantee. You might have a guarantee with some, I don't know the name of the supermarkets or stores here, they might accept your guarantee, they might not accept your guarantee. But the guarantee given by Rasulullah, Allah will not even invalidate it. Allahu Akbar. Usman has the guarantee of Jannah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whether any Shia burns all the way to hell, let him burn all the way to hell. But Usman has been given guarantee of Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Daughters of Rasulullah, wives of Rasulullah, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha is the daughter of Abu Sufyan. And Rasulullah's wives are, they are our, and the brother of your mother is, mama is your uncle. The Quran says that Rasulullah's wives are your mothers. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is the brother of your mother. So who dare insult Amir Muawiyah? You insult Amir Muawiyah, you're insulting Rasulullah. Because he is the Prophet's brother-in-law. In our language, many people, subhanallah, they don't know. I don't know what they say here. But in England and in Pakistan, they refer to cops as mamas. Is that what they do here as well? Or they don't do here? Or they don't do here, mashallah, you are more civilized. Mashallah. You are advanced, educated, mashallah. We Pakistanis are backward people. They say mama. The Shias have put in so much, degraded Amir Muawiyah, made it an insult. And many Sunnis, out of nowhere. We were in Jamaat once and somebody says, are we a Sunni? We say, what's a Sunni? Anyone, Sunni sunai baat ko jo maan jaye. Whatever anybody tells you, you listen, you believe, you're a Sunni. You're a Sunni. In Quran Sunnah terminology, Sunni is someone who follows the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Sunnis are those, many people. This is ajeeb. Human nature. Jo chor hota hai na, someone who's a thief, when he's just stolen or done a burglary, somebody finds, oh, thief, 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 thief. He wants to, chor, 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 chor. He wants to divert attention. He is the chor, but he's pointing. He shouts the loudest. Shouts the loudest to the other people. And those who've got nothing to do with sunnah, every bidat, conceivable bidah they do, they are Sunnis. And those who try and follow sunnah, they're Wahhabis. Sunnis. Those who got nothing to do with the Ahle Bayt, they call themselves lovers of Ahle Bayt. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Allah blessed him with son, he called one Abu Bakr, one Umar, one Usman. Later on, Allah gave Hazrat Hassan sons, he called others names. Gave others other names, but he made sure he gave one son the name Abu Bakr, one son Umar. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was blessed with sons. He called one Abu Bakr, one Umar. So to give your names, your sons, the names Abu Bakr and Umar is the sunnah of Hazrat Ali, sunnah of Hazrat Hassan, sunnah of Hazrat Hussein. But I can guarantee you there isn't a Shia in the world who will give his son's name Abu Bakr and Umar. And they say, we love the Ahle Bayt. There's nothing to do with Ahle Bayt. People call themselves Salafis, whatever. We follow in the footsteps of the ancestors, pious ancestors. But wasn't Hazrat Umar an pious ancestor? Wasn't Hazrat Usman a pious ancestor? Wasn't Hazrat Ali pious ancestors? They say we want Sahih Hadith. We want to follow Hadith. But they reject all many, many Hadith. Hadith rejectors are Ali Hadith. Allahu Akbar. So Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is the brother of Umm Habiba radiallahu anhu. So next time you take Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's name, make sure you take it with respect. He's your uncle. I was saying, whenever there's a murder crime scene, murder, you look at the crime scene, where was the murder taking place? If Yazid had sent assassins to kill Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hussein wasn't an unknown personality, nobody knew who he is. And he could walk around in disguise or undercover, nobody would know. Shias, they say, Yazid sent assassins to kill Hazrat Hussein. Hazrat Hussein wasn't unknown. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away 22nd Rajab. 27th of Rajab, news reached Medina. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu has passed away. And Yazid has been appointed his successor. So Yazid sent a message to Medina, Governor Walid, take allegiance from Hussein radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hussein said, do you want me to give allegiance in the secrecy of this room at night or tomorrow in the public? If giving Yazid allegiance was kufr, then was Hazrat Hussein going to think about giving allegiance, committing kufr? If it was kufr, he would have rejected it straight away. In the time of Amir Muawiyah, the Prophet said, the first army to make ghazwa, naval jihad, are all guaranteed Jannat. Then he went on to say, the first group of my ummah to make jihad against the city of the Roman emperor, they are all forgiven. First group is guaranteed Jannah. Second group is guaranteed forgiveness. The first group of my ummah to wage jihad against the city of the Roman emperor are guaranteed maghfoor allahum. Who said this? Rasulullah. Rawahul Bukhari. This is reported in Sahih Bukhari. And when this army was prepared by Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the commander of this army was Yazid. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was part of this expedition. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu already had done service in the path of Allah under the command of Yazid, and at least accepted him as Amir for at least this expedition. Rasulullah didn't promise him Jannat, but promised him forgiveness. Forgiveness is for who? Forgiveness of those who are sinful. So it shows the second group, there will be elements in the second group who are sinful, but Allah will forgive them. So if Yazid was so bad as the people make it out to be, if giving allegiance to Yazid, and I'm not defending Yazid for Allah's sake for one moment, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred in the Khilafat of Yazid, so Yazid must take responsibility. But Yazid never gave direct orders for the killing of Hazrat Hussein. If he wanted him killed, he could have had him killed, but he didn't. Rasulullah had promised forgiveness for all those who participate in this ghazwa, and Yazid was the Amir of this ghazwa. Hussein radiallahu anhu participated in this ghazwa under the Imarat of Yazid. News reached Medina 27th. 3 days, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu remained in Medina. Then he leaves Medina. He didn't want to give allegiance to Yazid. That was his thought. Other Sahaba did. But if Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu didn't want to give allegiance, he took his family in the darkness of the fourth night, left Medina, started proceeding towards Makkah. He didn't have an army with him, only his family members, mostly women, some men folk, and himself. Small group of people leaves Medina to go towards Makkah. Those who've been, is it just around the corner? Hundreds of kilometers. In those days, and in Jilaul Uyun, Mullah Baqir Majusi says, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu reached Makkah on the 4th of Shaban. At least 3 days it took him. In between, there's no garrison. There's no big city in those days. And Yazid's army would have known Hazrat Hussein has immediately left. If Yazid wanted Hazrat Hussein killed, in between 3 days in the wilderness, nobody would have ever known what happened. Could Yazid have done it or not? Was Hazrat Hussein martyred in this sector? No. He reaches Makkah. Mullah Baqir Majusi says 4th of Shaban. The whole of Shaban, whole of Ramadan, whole of Shawwal, whole of Dhul Hajjah, 4 months, Hazrat Hussein stays in Makkah. Who's governor? Yazid is the Khalifa. His army is everywhere. Hazrat Hussein isn't an unknown personality who can hide anywhere. Everybody knows Hazrat Hussein. You think his CID didn't know where every step of Hazrat Hussein? Not for a moment does Yazid or his governors enforce allegiance on Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. He carries on living in Makkah peacefully without any pressure from Yazid or his governor. 4 months, nothing happens. He receives letters from Kufa. 12,000 letters. And the people say, come over, we'll help you overthrow Yazid. Come. Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu already knows people of Kufa have betrayed my father Ali radiallahu anhu. They've betrayed Hazrat Hassan repeatedly. Hazrat Hassan, when he was dying, he said to Hazrat Hussain, whatever you do, don't trust the people of Kufa. Don't trust them. Don't listen to them. They'll offer their support and then they'll pull the carpet from under your feet, as they say. Hazrat Hussain continued ignoring them. 4 months passed. 12,000 letters reach him. Eventually, Hazrat Hussain gives in under the pressure, decides, no, I'll try. They want me. They are, look, so much support they are giving me. 12,000 letters. So he leaves. Sahaba said, don't go. Look at what they did to Hazrat Ali. Look what they did to Hazrat Hassan. They abandoned him. They betrayed his trust. They will do the same to you. Hazrat Hassan says, I leave my matters to Allah. And he proceeds. The Sahaba, they say, leave your family here. Go on your own. No, I want to take my family with me as well. They go. Between Makkah and Kufa, almost 1,000 kilometers. Desert, all the way. The moment Hazrat Hussain leaves Makkah, he's not an unknown personality. Everybody knows him. And you think, mashallah, grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he comes, everybody would pay him respect or not. Everybody knows. When they don't see him, he's been consulting, everybody's been telling him, everybody knows Hazrat Hussain is leaving Makkah to go to Kufa. You think Yazid didn't know he was leaving to go to Kufa? He knows. His arm, everybody knows. So Yazid, his armies, his governors are bound to know. So if Yazid wants Hazrat Hussain killed, massacred, en route 1,000 kilometers, nobody will ever know. Isn't that a good place to do the job? But does he do that? So what does it mean? It shows Yazid did not want to kill Hazrat Hussain. He did not want to murder him. He never gave orders to him to be assassinated. What happens? Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu reaches the doorstep of Kufa. The people who've sent him 12,000 letters, there is at their doorstep. And now the Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, yes, Yazid did give orders, make Hussain give allegiance radiallahu anhu. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad sends an army to face Hazrat Hussain, 4,000 people. And they request Hazrat Hussain to give allegiance. Hazrat Hussain refuses. Negotiations occur many times over. Finally, Hazrat Hussain says, allow me to go to Yazid and negotiate with him personally. After all, you know, when we were traveling, mashallah, Hanif bhai, he's got family all over the country. His grandfather's cousins everywhere. He says, ma, they're my cousins. Hazrat Hussain and Yazid are cousins. Both Qurayshis, Banu Umayyah, Banu Hashim, they are cousins. Hazrat Hussain knows he's my distant cousin. I'll go and sort it out with him. Number one. If not, allow me to go to some border town. I'll do jihad and spend the rest of my life in jihad. If not, allow me to go back to Makkah. Finally, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad gives in. But there was an evil man in the advisory council of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. His name is Shimr Ziljoshan, brother-in-law of Hazrat Ali, brother of one of his wives. Shimr says, Ubaidullah, you've got Hussain where you want him. Make him. Otherwise, kill him. Yazid didn't give the order. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad didn't want it either. But Shimr insisted, now's your time. You've got Hussain where you want. Now the best thing is just kill him. Hazrat Hussain's own uncle enforces this. Mullah Baqir Majusi has confessed to this. He is on Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, grandson of Rasulullah, is on the doorstep of Kufa. People who call themselves Shia, supporters of Hazrat Hussain, the ones who called him, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu then says to them, he calls them out by name, you called me, you called me, you called me, you called me, where are you now? They all say silent, shut, not a word. When Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu gets martyred, massacred on the doorstep of the supporters, what does that say? Who are responsible? Look at the crime scene. Where is the crime committed? Medina, Makkah, en route, on the doorsteps of those who called him. Isn't that ample evidence that they have pulled the carpet from under him? The day Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu is to be martyred, he says, you called me, you abandoned me, you betrayed me, you called me and betrayed me, you are responsible for this. Eventually, when the battle starts, there has been enough negotiation, talking, finally the time has come to start fighting. Mullah Baqir Majusi, Jilaul Uyun, Urdu version, volume 2, page 244. Mullah Baqir Majusi says, when the fighting started, the first man to come forward, number one, was Abu Bakr bin Ali. The first man to give his life for Hazrat Hussein was Abu Bakr bin Ali radiallahu anhu. When he was martyred, the next man was Umar bin Ali. When he was martyred, the next man was Uthman bin Ali. Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they loved Ahl Bayt. They sacrificed their lives for Ahl Bayt. Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, these very names are a guarantee that they are slaves of Ahl Bayt. Not traitors, but servants of Ahl Bayt. Then everybody else starts. And then eventually Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu is martyred. All male members of the group are martyred. Hazrat Hussain radiallahu had other sons. They are all martyred. One of his sons, his eldest son, Ali bin Hussain, who is also known as Zainul Abidin. In Karbala, after walking almost 1,000 kilometers, he had fallen ill. He had temperature. He was in the tent. He could not come out to fight. When everybody else was massacred, and Ubaidullah bin Ziyad's army then came into the tent, saw Ali bin Hussein, Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah. They wanted to kill him as well, but somebody intervened. Leave him, he's a sick man. Why you want to kill a sick man? He was spared. But he had seen, he hadn't taken part in what went on, but he could see from his tent what was going on. He had overheard all the negotiation, communication, conversation. And then Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah, is taken into Ubaidullah bin Ziyad's court in Kufa. Hazrat Hussein has been martyred, beheaded. His body left in the battlefield. His head taken to the court of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. And then to seek reward from Yazid, he sends the surviving members, the women, the remaining children, and Imam Zainul Abidin to Yazid's court in Kufa, in Damascus. I ask you, if anybody kills your father, kills your brothers, kills your uncles, will you eat on his dastarkhan? Stay in his house? Entertain his hospitality? If somebody does, what will you call him? You'll call him bighairat, no shame. The man's killed your father. He's killed your uncles, your brothers, and you're eating in his plate. Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah, is the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he reaches Damascus, Yazid entertains him. Imam Zainul Abidin, Hazrat Hussein's sister Zainab, his daughters Fatima and Sakina, they stay in Yazid's house, eating at his table, sleeping in his house. If they considered Yazid to be the killer of Hazrat Hussein and the rest of the family, would they have eaten in his plate? Would they have stayed in his house? Accepted his presence? Accepted his hospitality? Shia books, they say, they stayed in his house. So when she has books, they say, Mullah Bakir Majusi says, Imam Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah, Imam Hussain's son, he stayed in Yazid's house, eating on his table, sleeping in his house, accepting his presence. Not for one day, for many weeks. So what does that say? Did Imam Zainul Abidin consider Yazid to be the killer of his father? He was there in the battlefield. Mullah Bakir Majusi wasn't. Imam Zainul Abidin was. Imam Zainul Abidin was in Yazid's court. So if he considered him to be the killer of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, would he have eaten in his plate, stayed in his house, accepted his hospitality and presence when all of the surviving family of Hazrat Hussain, his sister Zainab radiallahu anha, his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter Sakina radiallahu anha, his son Imam Zainul Abidin, when they all accepted these treatment, did they at any time consider Yazid to be the killer or innocent of this murder? I say again, ultimately Yazid must, he does share some responsibility, but the family of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, descend sons and daughters of Hazrat Hussein, they don't regard Yazid as the killer of Hazrat Hussein. They regard the people who called them. When Hazrat Zainab was in the court of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, she addressed these very people who had called Hazrat Hussein, and she said, may Allah punish you, may Allah continue to punish you, may you cry, may you suffer in this world and the life hereafter. Shias are the only community in the world who beat themselves, hurt themselves, punish themselves. Even in this world, you go to YouTube on the internet, watch how the Shias, not just with palms, the mullah, the Shia mullahs just do this. But the Shia public, swords, chains, knives, you name it, Allah is punishing them in this world. And this is your punishment, not with Sunni hands, with your own filthy hands. And you are suffering in this world, tortured in this world. Why? Because you are guilty of the murder of Hazrat Hussein. The very people who are claimed to be his lovers, his supporters, Hazrat Hussein got nothing to do with them. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu used to say, Amir Muawiyah is far better than me, than my Shias. And this is why Hazrat Hassan Radhi, many people, they have the audacity. Sunnis, they say, don't talk about Amir Muawiyah. Hazrat Hassan gave his hand in the hand of Amir Muawiyah. If he didn't consider him Muslim, but Rasulullah made a treaty with the kuffar at Hudaybiyah as well. Rasulullah made treaty with the people at Hudaybiyah. He didn't give his hand in their hands. Rasulullah didn't give in to the people and accept them as his masters. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu relinquished his khilafat and accepted Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as his head and khalifa. Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah gave allegiance to Yazid, accepted him as the khalifa. And when he accepted him, Mullah Bakir Majusi on page 235 of Kafi, volume 8, and he says, Imam Zainul Abidin, he says to Yazid, Ana abdum mukrihun, I am your servant. Fa in shaita, if you want to keep me, amsik. Fa in shaita fabit, if you want to keep me, keep me. If you want to sell me, sell me. Mullah Bakir Majusi says, on behalf of Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah, we are not the judge. Who will be the judge? Allah will not ask Mullah Bakir Majusi, Yaqub Kulaini, or Tusi, or any other person, what's your verdict on Yazid, when Rasulullah has already said that all of them, أول جيش من أمتي يغزون مدينة قيصر روم مغفور اللهم. Rasulullah has given guarantee, anybody who participated in this first campaign, Allah will forgive them all. It shows, yes, Yazid was sinful, but Yazid's kufr has not been narrated anywhere. Yazid never rejected Allah, never rejected Rasulullah. He might have been sinful, drunkard, zani, whatever. If Allah can forgive somebody, Bani Israel committed 99 murders. He believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not going to say he's going straight to Jannah, but eventually when Rasulullah has said, Maghfoor Allahum, Allah will forgive him. So are you going to stop Allah from forgiving him? So when people say a sentimental value, obviously our sympathies are with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we were not there. Neither was Mullah Bakir Majusi. Imam Zainul Abideen was there. So when he left his matters to Allah, why don't you leave his matters to Allah? Because samajh aayi ya nahi aayi? You understand or not? This is just, Shiaism is nothing but deception, false lies, deception, emotional blackmail of ordinary, simple, ignorant Muslims. People don't read, people don't want to know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iza zaharatil fitanu aw al bid'u aw subba ashabi." When bid'ats, fitan arise, people curse my sahaba. Fal yuzhiril alimu ilmahu. Then ulama should speak up. Ulama should make people aware of the reality. Ulama's responsibility, tell the people how special Abu Bakr was. Tell the people how special Umar was. Tell the people how special Usman was. How special Ali was. How special as Aisha was. How special Amir Muawiyah was. Tell them that what these people are saying, they are barking. They are nothing but barking. And if you don't, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Finally, I know it's been long. When people do something bad, a man comes to Maulvi Sahab, Maulvi Sahab, my son stays out late. He's into drugs. He doesn't work. He doesn't look after his family. He speaks back at his mother. He doesn't show me respect. Whatever he does, Maulvi Sahab will say, what will he say? May Allah guide him. Is that what he might say? Somebody asks you, man, my brother is no good. What will you say to him? May Allah guide him. But there's one sin. Don't say, may Allah guide him. When some people do certain things. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي. When you see people, they are cursing my companions. Then Rasulullah said, فَقُولُوا لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. Allah's curse be upon your evil. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. These people who curse the Sahaba, the people who curse Abu Bakr, the people who curse Hazrat Umar, the people who curse Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Aisha, don't pray for the hidayat. Pray that Allah curse them. Because Allah says in the Quran, I will curse them in dunya, I will curse them in the life hereafter. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.